Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so now we're great. Because you were telling me, and this news, because I've been out of the loops the holidays. What the hell happened? You said the Sabres. Now, please tell me the story.
Yeah, the Sabres. So in Buffalo, there's some more exciting things than the Bills and Vucci's. They've won 10 out of 11 games.
Jesus
They
Christ.
are effectively a wild card team at this point. They're playing really, really good. So part of the spark that re was they fired their general manager, and they brought in Jarmo Kekäläinen from who was the former GM of the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was brought in as a special advisor to the Sabres this year, and I felt like when you bring in a GM in like a supervisory role, it's telling me that the current GM is on, the hot seat. And look, he was. I mean, the G prior GM Kevin Adams. He brought in. He drafted a lot of good players. He had a lot of first round draft picks. He made some decent moves, but in the end of the day, the team didn't perform as well as they should have for the amount of talent they had. Jarmo comes in, and they've won. I think they are already 3 games into the win streak when he came in, so they've won eight of the last 9 games since he's been there. And he hasn't made any roster moves. He hasn't made any trades. He hasn't done anything to that effect. So it's still the same roster. They're just playing at a high level. They're playing at that a a way they're in a division that's very winnable. They can get to that third spot. I don't think they could get past Tampa the way Tampa's been playing this year. I think Detroit's playing very strong this year, but they could be that third seed or a wild card. And I have they play the way they've been playing. Obviously, they're gonna have to continue to play at this pace, and I think they could do it. And I've been a, I mean, I've said it before. Like I could never understand how bad this team is, and it became a place where people didn't want to play for whatever reason. I mean, I've mentioned it before in previous podcasts. I mean, they had the Jack Eichel situation. You had Sam Reinhart, Ryan O'Reilly, Evander Kane, Evan Rudd. There's so many people that have left this franchise in the last decade who have gone on to win Stanley Cups other places. So, whatever the reason being, I think they got someone in place now who's getting these players inspired, and everything is in their favor. They have nothing to lose. They have tons of young players. They got, a solid fan base who wants to see them in the playoffs, and I think they've become like the Cubs of the baseball, like the lovable losers where it's like, and I don't say that to be mean, but like
No,
I
no,
want to
no.
see them in the playoffs.
So
I
what?
remember as like, them in the 90s with like Dominic
Yeah.
Hasek dominate. Like, this is a team that needs to get that Stanley Cup, and maybe, we're looking at a roster that is one or two players away from being a highly competitive team. I
Fair.
mean,
Do they make those changes this year? Because like they have been they've been on a tear, but is that enough to get them into the playoffs and actually be competitive against, the likes of Florida?
great question. I think they're, in my opinion, I think they're one or two players. They need to bolster that top six. I think they need one more player in the top six. I feel with the injuries they've been dealing with, they need to get a little bit stronger on the back end. They have a lot of good players. Like Rasmus Dahlin is leading that decor. You got Owen Power, Bowen Byram, Samuelson. They got guys. I think they're in a good place. It's one of those things where it doesn't make sense to make a move during the season or wait until the off season. I think players' names who have come up in the past before this win streak, like Owen Power, Bowen Byram, the Alex Tuch contract, they kind of have all quieted down a little bit. They're not as prominent, and that could just be with a new GM. They're just working behind the scenes to like get things done, especially with the contract, because he did come out and say he wants to re-sign Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch is from New York State, so this is a home t he is a hometown player, and he's one of their best players. So getting him locked up for the next 6 to 8 years makes perfect sense. Now, But the other things, we'll see. I think he hasn't done anything yet, but that doesn't mean things aren't in motion behind the scenes. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, that's a huge surprise. Anything else in the league stand out to you? Because I know we have a little bit of a special episode. We're going over the other hockey side that's happening very soon.
Yeah. Really, I mean, everything else. I think the other one is, if you look at the other side, my God, the Winnipeg Jets have not taken off. They have found themselves in the bottom of their division, and for a team that I've liked for the last couple of years, always a fun team to watch, they're struggling, and I don't know if there's anything they could really do to break that right now.
Yeah,
but we'll see. 40 games in, I don't think the moves they made in the offseason have worked out, and I think it's time to bring in some of the young first-round draft picks, those young players that are the future of this team, and seeing if they're ready. Brandon Jaeger, who they traded for from Pittsburgh, Brad Lambert, who came out and said, like, look, I want to be traded. Maybe it's a chance for him to get into the lineup, and then see what some of these young guys got, because unfortunately, Taze, hometown kid, I mean, hasn't played out as well as anyone would have liked. Gustav Nyquist coming in hasn't really worked out. So I think those are opportunities for maybe moving one of those guys, getting some trades done, getting some picks or some cap space, and hopefully, some of these young players they have in the pipeline can come up and, show us what they're worth, and hopefully that could help. Put a little bit of a bright spot in this season, because no one expected them, especially me, to be in the last place of their division.
Fair. So one last thing then, before we move on to the Olympics. We're now in a pretty good spot, and you keep talking about, like, yeah, this is time to do this trade, bring this person up. What trades and, moves have you seen in the from the beginning of the season that have been the most effective and least effective? Just give me an example of each and we'll move on. Just curious in your opinion.
I think a lot of the contracts, those players that the most effective moves are locking up your stars. And every team has locked up their stars. Eichel's locked up. Adrian Kempe has been locked up. Kirill Kaprizov has been locked up. All these big players are not going to hit the free agency. I don't think there really is a big free. I think Arturi Panarin might be the biggest free agent this year in the offseason. So I think the biggest move isn't necessarily the flashy trade. It's solidifying your core and keeping your best players under contract for as long as you can, which is between 7 and 8 years. Moves that haven't really worked out. I mean, again, Jonathan Toews, I don't think it's as good as, we would have hoped. I think that's something to look at move-wise. I mean, it's really hard to say. I like to think that, like, even after 40 games, I think there's still a lot of, time to see how certain things are going to play out. I think the big trade during the season was the Quinn Hughes trade to Minnesota. Minnesota has been rocking and rolling. They kind of fumbled out of the gates earlier in the season, but they're dialed in. They're second in the Western Conference. They're tied in the Western Conference with 58 points. Only Colorado has more points than them in the whole conference, so they're playing phenomenal. So that's a good move. But like to go back to like probably just the Tay signing just sticks out. I mean, Luke Hughes, big contract in the offseason. I think he's still really young, and I think he's getting a hard time because New Jersey keeps going up and down. And he's sadly like an easy target, but for me, I mean, he's got 20 points in 40 games. I mean, as a defenseman, that's good. That for me, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's an expectation when you get paid a certain amount, you're a young player that like, I think there's just a little, they're expecting a little more out of him, but to me, Jasper Bratt leads the team in points, and he's at 33, and Hughes is at 21. So it's not like he's far off.
Yeah.
But again, Those are kind of the ones out that kind of stick out to me.
Fair enough.
All right. See. I mean, we're 40 games, 41 games, so we're.
I just wanted to see. You know, you kept talking about it was just me prompting. It was just asking the right questions, trying to at least.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the main event. We are getting very, very close to the Winter Olympics, and teams have already been sort of be announced. But before we get to that, the interesting side tidbit. While we will have ice, chances are the stadium will not be ready for the Olympic Games, especially the women's division, which starts February 5th. What are your thoughts on this? Like, they had 10 years. Come on, Milan. Like, 10, right? Am I making that up?
No, they've had, I wouldn't say 10 years, but they've had years.
Okay. All right.
I mean, look, Italians, they like to, they move at their own pace. And,
fair.
You know, so and only in recent months do they have a fire lit under their backside to get this done. But, you know, as long as they got ice, that's all that matters. It's one of those things where, I mean, I'm thinking of a 2014 Sochi, the Olympics in Russia. They had an unusually warm stretch of time where a lot of the snow and things going on in there weren't ideal. And it was like, what are the odds that like Russia is warm right now? Well, Russia is generally a very cold climate country. And it was warm during the Olympics. So things happen.
Fair enough. But this is those problems are at least, you know, like not necessarily man-made. This seems entirely, you know, Italy's fault.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're responsible for doing a lot of things. And it looks like building an ice rink was not on the top on the list. But well, hopefully it's all good. Hopefully it's done. I mean, you know, I hate to see it on TV with no one in the stands, but that's what it sounds like. But, you know, we got a couple. They got a month. You know, they bring in. I think at this point they just got to bring in like a 24-hour crew. Just have three 8-hour crews just working.
Yeah.
Bring in some additional assistance. Maybe would be ideal. I don't know what the rules are for that, but I mean, I guarantee if you reached out to a few different places, like different countries, like we need help, I'm pretty sure, you know, people will join in, especially the NHL, just so they can have the best possible conditions for the athletes.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do is have someone get hurt.
Agreed.
So that takes paramount over anything. Like, you know, you don't want to have, you know, you want people to be at their best. You want people to represent their country the best possible way of all the best, you know, situations and settings. And the last thing you want is someone to get hurt because, you know, the ice isn't 100%.
Well, also, I don't know if other people are going to like the fact that, you know, I think the village is just mobile homes, right? They better be pretty nice. They better be like trailers, you know, for movie stars.
They hire that guy who does that YouTube channel for the tiny homes. That guy is good. The New Zealand guy, bring him in. I don't know. I think his name is Bryce. Fantastic. If you ever have 10 minutes and want to watch a thing about tiny homes, this guy's got a YouTube channel. What is it, tiny homes? Bring that guy and he'll build you a whole community of tiny homes.
It's a good idea, actually.
Yes, yeah, so he's from New Zealand. He's from Auckland.
Fair. And I want to correct myself slightly. The competition begins on February 4th with the opening ceremony and then curling event. So, you know, that's got to be important, right? You got to have the thing ready for the curling.
Yeah, you can't curl. Imagine they go to like outdoor, like they do it in the parking lot with like a rollerball. I don't know. It's like it hit a gravel, bounced. What the fuck? Yeah,
amazing.
I don't know. It's like, there's got to be some like guideline. Like, you can't just win the bid. Like, there's got to be a lot of things leading. Like, the infrastructure needs to be there. But look, I'm not speaking ill because watching 4 years when it's in like Utah, the whole thing like shits the bed. let's not talk ill.
Oh God,
I don't know the ins and outs of the Olympic building committees.
Fair, fair. All right, let's get to it. You want to start with the good old US of A?
Yeah.
All right, so we have the roster for the US. No surprises for I don't think really many surprises anywhere. It's pretty standard. We got Hellebuyck at goal. We have a bunch of really good forwards. What stands out to you? We got both Kachucks. Well, we
Yeah,
got
you can't have one without the other.
yeah. Oh, and then yeah. So we have a good lineup. What stands out to you?
For me, the I like them bringing in Tage Thompson. I thought he should have been on the team. I like them bringing in Clayton Keller. Very, very skilled player. I like those guys. I like Seth Jones on the D side. I am surprised about Jason Robertson being snubbed. Having a phenomenal year, great goal scorer. I would assume they would have found a way to, get him on the team. Didn't look like it happened. But other than that, I mean, this team is dialed in.
What do you think of because it's slightly different than the team from Four Nations, notably Chris Kreider,
Yeah, so they
got
so
cut.
Chris Kreider is not on the team. I think they went with a bigger body. I think, I don't know if it was, Tage Thompson is 6'6", very physical player, can play down low. Give him a little bit more beef in the lineup. I don't know if it was a one for one swap. I just know, Kreider is out, Tage is in. Adam Fox is out. Seth Jones is in. I think a lot of that had to do with Adam Fox has been hurt pretty much all season. And I don't think he came back for a couple games, and now he's back on the IR for the Rangers.
He shouldn't have come back, man. That
Yeah,
was
I think it's him missing it isn't a thing about his play. I think it's a health reason.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's, and he's probably, gutted about it, but his health comes first. He tried. He tried. I guarantee you he came back to get ready for that Olympic team.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and then, it just wasn't, I heard I saw something, he's already back on the IR. So is there a chance he's healthy for that? I mean, probably not. I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but at the end of the day, your health is paramount, and trying to play through something, I get it, but in the end of the day, if you're not 100%, you're better to miss one and then come back in 4 years, because he's still a young player. He's still going to be able to play on another team. But we'll see. I like this roster, a lot of speed. Their D core is very strong, very physical. I mean, you got guys like Jake Sanderson, Zach Werenski, who are really fast puck moving defensemen. You got arguably the best defensive defenseman in Jacob Slavin. You got Charlie McAvoy, who could just absolutely level people, and you got Seth Jones, who's a big playtime player, Stanley Cup champion. I
Let's not
like.
forget, though, that we not only have that, but we have Quinn Hughes, who is now healthy after Four Nations, and he wasn't
Yeah.
competing. So is that going to be a huge win as well?
Yes, when you bring in Hughes, you got Brock Faver, who are both on Minnesota now. You got Noah Hanifin. I think they're very, very good. I think Quinn Hughes is definitely going to lead that team in terms of the defensive side. And it's a different dynamic. I mean, when we look at the Four Nations finals, they didn't have Quinn Hughes, they didn't have Charlie McAvoy. These guys were injured. They weren't there. So it's going to be a different lineup. Then offensively, they are locked in. I like what this team brings. They got the Tkachuk brothers. You got Tage Thompson. Vincent Trocheck is a great two-way player. Auston Matthews, who's really lighting it up the last couple weeks. You got Dylan Larkin, who's just Mr. Consistent for Detroit. One of my favorite players, Jake Guentzel, who literally is like a point per game guy, one of the best players in the league, hands down. And, you know, he's there. You got Eichel, Keller. I mean, this team doesn't have, in my opinion, a flaw. There's no weak link. This team is the best team that, you know, I've seen in my lifetime. And I thought the 2010 team was really good. I think this is better than that 2010 team who took silver. This is a very good team, and I'm not trying to knock years past, but like in my lifetime, seeing USA hockey, he just gotten bigger and bigger over the years. This is one of the times because I get there's not a team in this Olympics that is going to match up as good as us. Like we definitely have top end players at every position. There's no weak link. They're definitely going to be able to go toe to toe with anyone in the tournament.
Cool. So where do you think the U.S. will end up?
They're going to end up in the gold medal game.
That's gold medal game. Okay. So you're not saying they're going to win it, but they got a shot.
I think they could definitely win it. I'd love to see them win it, but they're definitely going to play for a medal. I think it's going to be U.S. Canada again and going to overtime because these teams are so well balanced. And I hope this is the time that USA takes it because I'm tired of seeing them lose to Canada in overtime. USA. Fair enough.
Speaking of which, anything else about US before we move on?
They got some really snazzy jerseys. And they got some snazz. They got some style there.
All right. Well, let's move on to Canada, who is a team to contend with.
That song I kind of know.
I can ask. I have a Canadian in the other room, although she's...
It's okay. Let's leave Vancouver out of this. They're hurting enough as it is. That whole city might be beautiful. They're underwater.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this team. What stands out to you about our Canadian roster?
A lot of players from Florida. You got Sorelli, Hagel, Point from Tampa. You got Reinhardt. Who was the other guy? There's a couple of guys from Florida. Brad Marchand. From Florida. They did leave Sam Bennett off, which is a head scratcher. Big time player for them last in the Four Nations, 2-time Stanley Cup champion. You know, solid player. And I feel like he may end up on the roster for the Olympics. If someone gets hurt the next like 2 weeks, something happens, he's on the team. Like I don't think they could go without him on the team. But with that said, you got Macklin Celebrini, 19-year-old second-year player. Top five in the league in scoring. Seeing him on the team is awesome. I think he has taken that next step. He's even got San Jose fighting for a playoff spot. So this team, you know, has some really young players. And then you got Sidney Crosby, who is Mr. Hockey, you know. You got Nathan MacKinnon. You got Connor McDavid. This team is just, wherever you look, there's a superstar. And they match up very well against the U.S. You got Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Braden Point, Sam Reinhart. I mean, this roster is just loaded. Nick Suzuki, Mark Stone, Tom Wilson. Those two guys were not on the Four Nations. They are on the Olympic team. So they're very well stacked up.
Yeah, but realistically, no surprises here. I mean, this is pretty much what everyone thought the Canadian team would look like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all right. So where do you think? Are these still the team to beat going into these games?
No, because they won Four Nations, yeah, I'm going to say they're the team to beat.
Okay. That's only because of Four Nations, nothing else.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. If we didn't have a Four Nations, maybe it'd be like, you know. But the Four Nations put USA on the map. And that is now, you know, that to me shows like, hey, we're ready to play. I mean, at the world junior level, USA has been very good over the last 5 years, very, very competitive. So we knew they're up and coming players. Now it's, you know, the professional time.
Fair enough. All right. Let us move. I mean, I don't know how many other teams do you want to go over. Do you want to go everything or just generally players who...
You know, I like Sweden. I like Finland. I think they're really strong teams. You know, I like Switzerland. I think they're going to do some good stuff. But, I mean, again, at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to USA and Canada.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I like Sweden's got a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
I like top down. They're very, very skilled. Finland is very, very skilled. Finland does not get to have Andre Barkov on the roster, so that hurts them a little bit. But you know, they're both very good teams, and if they get hot, they can make a run 100%. You know, but my money's on USA.
Fair. And should we not even talk about Germany, Czechia, Latvia? We don't have to. I mean, I was just saying, they're in the mix too. They're at least
got a couple of really good players. We got Leon Draisaitl, Tim Stützle. They got good players, but as a team, a lot of their players aren't playing in the NHL.
Fair.
They are playing in other professional leagues, so I'm not trying to discredit them. But when you talk about the two teams with the most top end talent, and it is USA and Canada.
Fair. All right. Okay, that is more or less what I had prepared for this episode. We kind of went over all the Olympic stuff. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this one up?
No, I think, you know, the big story, let's go Buffalo. the Jets have landed. The Team USA, I mean, we're just coming back off the new year, so... We're at the halfway point of the season. I think, you know, the highlights to me are Buffalo. I like what some of these teams that are kind of on the bubble, kind of making the come up. Like Montreal is a fun team to watch. They got a lot of good players. And yeah, that's really it.
Fair enough. All right, Will. That about wraps it up for this week's episode. Please, thank you so much for joining us, and please come back next week for more Drive to Antakki.